Hi, it's Phil Hendry for the Backstage Pass. Yes, it is the subscription to the Phil Hendry Show, yet we like to think it's a portal into the unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, knock it off, will you? All right, well, I thought that that was a...
I think that's very apt.
What do you mean a portal to the unknown? You're talking about something almost, Phil, I would say...
Margaret?
No, wait, something almost metaphysical. Okay, maybe it is. Maybe our show... I dare not say it.
Oh, give me a break. What are you saying?
Maybe our show is a portal to a higher and better place for people. Have you thought about that?
No.
Neither have I, but...
pretty good.
It's pretty good. So, be that as it may, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show... Sorry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show has 55,000-plus hours on our website of our radio show as well as our digital content. We also have video casts. We also have home movies. These are home movies shot by my daddy and me down through the years, going all the way back to the 40s in Canada. Can you believe that? Well, you need to believe it because it's. I actually saw it for the first time the other day.
What do you mean for the first time? Well...
It felt like it was the first time. Anyway, we also have podcasts, and we have long and short form comedies. We've got radio and TV interviews. We have TV pilots. There is something for everybody. Well, maybe not something for everybody.
Yeah, it's your extra dimensional creature.
Yeah, we don't have anything for extra dimensional creatures, although we may.
Don't never say never.
Yeah, we're not going to say never. So if you are extra dimensional, we may have something for you there as well. And the world famous Phil Hendry Show website.
You were almost going to say something else.
I was almost going to say I hate life.
No, you weren't.
On the world famous Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com, the greatest value online other than porn. Welcome, guys, to the Phil Hendry Show. And the passing of Tina Turner reminded me of a time in my life when I first saw Tina Turner. And I was 12 years old, and I was watching a TV show called Shindig.
Oh, I know that show.
Yeah, it was on in the 60s, and I was a kid, and it was on ABC. It was on once a week, Margaret?
Yes, I think it was on. Jimmy O'Neill hosted it.
Jimmy O'Neill, yeah, he was a KFWB disc jockey, and he also, talk about a great gig.
Yes, I think it was on Thursday nights.
Thursday nights, or...
Maybe.
What are you guys talking about?
You're talking about Shindig.
Yeah. What's that?
TV show. Never mind. So I'm watching this show at the age of 12 or 13, I forget what, and along comes Tina Turner. And she was with the Ike Turner's band, her husband at the time. And there are a lot of people on the stage, but I got to tell you, for this kid here, this 12-year-old kid, I never, in my whole life, never saw a woman sexier. Now, I didn't even know what sexy was back then, but man, when I saw her, there was no question about it. That was what sexy was supposed to be. She was gorgeous. She had a real short skirt on. And she would stand there with her legs and her feet about shoulder width apart, which was a very unusual pose for women in those days. I don't care if they were female performers, whatever. You didn't see women stand like that.
And here comes the filthy part.
All right, Margaret, it's not...
No, you're going to get into the whole thing, I know.
Yeah, you talk about wanting to lay your head on the stage.
All right, well, hold on for a minute. I wanted to say that.
Well, he might as well kick it out there.
You're kidding me, Phil. You wanted to lay your head on the stage. God damn.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Don't do that.
All right, Margaret, listen. I'm talking about me, okay? The stuff that I thought was cool when I was a kid.
That is a very vulgar image that you're putting out there for everyone, Phil. And I think you have females in the audience that may not appreciate it.
Or they may.
Or they may.
Or they may.
All right, well, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just telling you. Yeah, okay, thank you, Real. Whoever said it. General, you, Bud, I don't know who.
I think it was me.
It was me.
No.
Wait a minute. When I was 12 and I saw Tina Turner standing there on that stage in that short skirt, I wanted to lay my head on the stage and look.
Yeah.
Don't applaud that. You did.
Am I not allowed to be 12?
Here's Phil.
What?
Well, Margaret, you're making the guy nervous.
No, wait. Am I not allowed to be a 12-year-old kid?
So that's what you really thought when you saw Tina Turner?
That's exactly what I thought the first time I saw Tina Turner. I thought she was the sexiest creature I ever saw in my life. She was very unusual. There's no woman that I ever saw that acted so just, I mean, just her magnetism was right there, man. Okay. And anything a 12-year-old kid ever fantasized about a woman, there she was. standing there, man, in that short skirt with those legs spread, and she's...
Jesus Christ, Phil.
Hey, tell me, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but God...
Well, that's how I felt. And I don't say this to dishonor her. I say it, quite frankly, to honor her, to tell her, wherever you may be right now, Ms. Turner, everything you were trying to put out there, I mean, it worked for this kid here. And I was a lifelong Tina Turner fan after that. And when I heard her finally come back into the limelight, as she did, with the new album.
Yeah, What's Love Got to Do with It?
What's Love Got to Do with It? I was one of the happiest guys in the world because I thought this is a woman who deserved all of the fame she got and more. But man, at that point in my life, that was the first time I can honestly tell you that I saw a female who I thought was just absolute raging sexuality, and I was 12.
All right, yeah. See, that's the kind of honesty what everybody wants.
Thank you, bud.
Thanks, bud. That's very nice of you.
Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, for better or for worse, is on the air.
Now, I don't know. I think we're just going to have a kind of a general conversation here because I have had the last 2 days.
You've got something like laryngitis.
I don't think I've got laryngitis. Whatever I got, though, is similar because I'm not sick, okay? I don't have a cold.
Yeah, you don't have no sniffles or anything.
I don't have no sniffles, man. I ain't got a cough.
Well, you were misusing your voice in some way, Phil. That's got to be the way.
Generally, that's it, right, Phil?
Yes. I mean, you get laryngitis. You get a rough throat if you're misusing. I wasn't screaming. I wasn't yelling. I was doing a lot of talking. I was doing a lot of reading. I was doing a lot of what you call announcing. And that's probably what did it.
Yeah, but you've done a lot of that before. Why is the voice strained now?
I think it's because I was misusing my voice in what I was doing. I wasn't, you know, there's a way there literally is a way of speaking. If you speak professionally, there's a way of using your diaphragm and the air and controlling how you say things so that you're not, you know, straining your vocal cords. Because believe it or not, I've had vocal nodules, and that's something, well...
You're getting a little scientific.
Yeah, I think I would just simply say this. There is a good way and an improper way of using your voice, and for the last few days, I think I was using it improperly, so there you go.
All right, so we had Tina Turner. We've also got some business. As long as you've got a bad throat, maybe we can clean up some old business.
Yes.
Well, what old business do we need to clean up?
Well, you got Dr. Jim Sadler.
Doctor, not Dictor, bud.
Oh, sorry.
What do you mean? Why do you call him Dictor?
It just seems like a more...
He's a doctor.
All right. Doesn't seem like... I think in a guy like Sadler, you call a Dictor.
Is he in the studio or is he here?
Yes, Mr.
Excuse me, but I'm a doctor.
Yeah, I know. But...
Why do you let him do that?
Bud, I told you, okay?
Dr. Sadler, okay, I'll say, Dr. Sadler, you have said you don't know the good words.
First of all, I want to say something, Mr. Henry. In your archive, there is a show that says Dr. Jim Sadler comes on to explain why he doesn't use the right words. I can't find that show anywhere.
I know, I was looking for it, too. I think we've doubled up some show log. I apologize. We'll try to straighten that out.
Okay, so that was where I had attempted to tell your audience that I studied very hard to be a doctor, okay? But I didn't necessarily... Look, would you rather have a man do the right kind of surgery on you, or would you rather have a guy who knows what the words, what the thing that they cut you with is called?
I think I'd rather have both.
No, but you can only have one.
You're saying... I should have either a doctor who knows how to perform surgery, or he knows the right terms for different things.
That's correct.
I guess I'd want the guy who knows surgery.
Yes, I'd want the guy who knows surgery.
All right, but this is all leading up to you saying what you said to us the last time you were on the show. Not the last time you were on the show, but the last time we talked about this, that you studied so hard at learning how to be a surgeon and a doctor that you didn't learn the words for things like hypodermic.
Which is what?
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the needle.
Yes, it's the needle that goes in. Yeah, you're right. So when I give someone a shot, I'll say, come in, we're going to give you the shot for instance, a COVID booster. And I'll say, all right, roll up your sleeve, and I'm going to take this needle, and I'm going to put it in your arm.
Right. You don't say I'm going to vaccinate you.
Do you know what vaccination is?
I've since found out. Yeah, it means you're giving someone a shot, right?
Yeah, you're giving somebody a shot in the...
Mr. Henry, again, would you rather have the right kind of shot or a doctor that knows, hey, here's a, what'd you call it?
Vaccination.
It's written right here.
Here's a vaccination. Take it easy, okay? Here's a vaccination, see? I'm going to give you a vaccination. Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't know what I'm doing.
No, I'd rather you knew what you were doing, and it would, if it's all the same to you, I'd rather that you called it
It's called a vaccination.
Yeah, that would be a start.
No. So this was the challenge, and I said to people, you either get a good doctor, but you're not with Dr. Jim Sadler. You got a man who's very skilled, but you'll forgive me. They're talking about when I went and I took out a guy's, this guy had a stomachache, okay? So I had to go and get the thing that looks like a little finger that's attached to the big, you know,
You evacuate your bowels?
Well, what's that called?
The large intestine.
Right. Then there's a little thing.
Appendix.
You don't even know what appendix is.
A penis?
Appendix.
All right. I don't want to be yelled at, all right?
Well, Dr. Sadler.
It's called an appendix. Okay. So when I go in, I take the thing, the knife thing, I cut a guy's stomach open, and I take out the thing.
Appendix.
Right. And I sew him up, and I give him the right medicine so that there's no, you know, what do you call it?
Infection.
Yeah.
And you do that real good, huh?
I do it better than anybody. And because I don't happen to know the word for...
appendix.
People are... So that was the beginning of the program, but I can't find that anywhere in your archives. And I've had a lot of people say to me, you're a really good doctor, Dr. Sadler. You know, you're very good. I said, well, thank you. You know, tell me about it. I know how good I am. But everybody's saying, hey, you know, vaccination, appendix, vaccination, your colon. You know about that?
Do I know about what a colon is?
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Cool. Wow.
Well, Dr. Sadler, in other words, you don't?
Yes, I do know what it is. I didn't know it was called a colon.
Well, what do you call it?
God, get a load of him.
What do you call it? Well, what do you call it?
I call it the big thing that, you know, the big hose or whatever.
The big hose. How do you get any patients to stay in your practice?
Because I'm damn good. That's why. Eh? I'm damn good.
Yeah, you cure the diseases, everything.
That's right. I cure the diseases and everything, just like Dickman said.
We have Dr. Jim Sadler with us, folks, and we're talking about his career as a doctor, not knowing the big words for things. And we will be right back after this. The Phil Henry Show is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp, what is it? Online therapy. I've been talking to you guys about it for a few weeks. It's about sitting down and talking to somebody about what may be slowing you up, what may be hanging you up, what may be blocking your way in life. We all want to be happy. We all want to be, you know, better friends, better fathers, better mothers, better sons, better daughters, better professionals. We want to be better at what we do. And sometimes we can't figure out why it is we can't get there. Did you know that the person who can ask the right questions and come up with the right answers, did you know that that person is you? What good therapy does is it leads you to a place where you can begin to figure this out for yourself. That's what a good therapist does. They don't give you the answers. They help you find the answer. I've been in therapy off and on since my 30s. Before I got into therapy, I was pretty much afraid of my own shadow. I was stuck. I was afraid to do the things I really wanted to do. I was afraid to be me, and I mean that literally. I was afraid to, because you guys listen to me, you know how goofy I am. Do you realize how scary it was for me to bust out and finally give voice to some of the weird things that I'm thinking in my life? I went to therapy, and I found out that in order to be happy, you've got to have a little bit of courage, but it isn't that much of a, you know, it isn't that much of a hill to climb. And there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself. So I really recommend therapy because, as I said, it unlocked the success in me. And I know it can do the same thing for you. And BetterHelp, I believe, is a great, great tool for you. It's something I think you want to investigate. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. And it's suited to your schedule. So you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. You can find more balance and find some of those answers to those questions that maybe you haven't even started asking with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Phil. Visit them today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Phil. Go ahead, Jay.
Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police, and this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're all kind of kicking in here and helping out Phil because he has a little bit of laryngitis. And I'm Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
So, Jay, tell us about... I saw the article here. You were on Bluebird Lane.
Yeah, we were over on Bluebird Lane in Manhattan Beach just a couple weeks ago, actually. It was actually a month ago now, so I start thinking about it, but... It was inspired by looking at the Queen and the King and how, not the Queen, the King. But
you're talking about the coronation of...
Yeah, talking about the coronation of Prince Charles.
Yes.
Yeah, that's... We were looking at the crisp arm swings and the foot marching steps. And I don't know how to say it, but we were very impressed with how crisp... the arm swinging was, and how, I guess you could say, how crisp it was.
Now, what do you mean by crisp? You're talking about these guys, these are the royal troops?
Now, these are the, you're talking about the Queen and the King's Guard.
That's correct, yes. In watching the coronation and the and actually the lead up, the march up, or not the march up, but the lead in, you know, of... The royal troops, they were very crisply, I don't know how to say it.
Just demonstrate it.
They were going like this, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, you know. And it just was so impressive that I told all of my sub-commanders, I told everyone else, okay, that we have to march like that. And once a week, so when we go out to a flare drop, when we go out to a roam-in, or we go out to a, like we have a move-in or roam-in.
Now, what is the roam-in again? It's when you're in a public place.
Yeah, when you're in a public place, you just roam in wearing our yellow rain slickers. A move-in is where we go into a bar. You know, like I say, eight men and...
16 legs.
Yeah, that's, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Jay, you know that eight men have 16 legs.
Yes, I do, but I...
One time you said there's eight men and 15 legs.
No, I did not. I never said that. See, that's a filthy lie.
Well, you said eight men and 17 legs.
Yes, I did say that, yeah. I did say that.
Okay, so that's one extra leg. Never mind, man.
So what I'm trying to say is we were practicing crisp...
You were practicing the very crisp arm-swinging marching that the British troops did... We're practicing for the King's coronation.
Exactly. So we go out here to Bluebird Lane in Manhattan Beach. We were practicing the crispness, you know.
What do you call that? You just call it, it's like drilling?
Well, yeah, it's drilling, but it's not just like marching around like you guys in the Army. We're doing it with the real good, crisp arm swings and legs. If you ever seen the British troops, they're just...
We know what you're talking about.
I know, Jay. They're very, very disciplined.
They're very disciplined. They're like, yeah, 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 yeah. I wish I knew how to say it. And I wish I knew how to do it. But anyway, we were over there on Bluebird Lane. And
you were doing flare drops.
And we were doing flare drops, okay? And I said, we're going to do crisp arm swings and foot marching steps during our monthly drills. And the commuters and city workers were all of a sudden stopping by and yelling, hey, Jay, You know, is this marching crisp enough for you? And they're starting to do it themselves, you know.
So you were being mocked?
Yeah, a little bit. There's like a woman there, and she's going, hey, crisp. She goes, hey, Jay.
She called you crisp.
No, she said, hey, Jay, is this crisp enough? And she starts marching. So I yelled back at her. I said, I got your crisp right here. And I pointed.
Oh, you did not.
Well, you know what? She's being disrespectful.
You pointed at your thing.
Yeah, I did. Okay. So some slob comes up to me
And I said, Slob, I said, listen, chimp, you back up or go south, and go south fast, and I finish on top, and you know what that means.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me?
Well, what you said to the guy?
I said to the guy, back up, chimp, or it goes south fast, and I finish up on top, and you know what I mean. All these people are staring at me like I'm something that belongs in a test tube or something.
No, we're just wondering what you meant by that. That's...
And so that was, you know, sort of experience there. But it's nothing that we really want to repeat. It's nothing that we like to go into because I don't want to get rough with people. But basically, we wanted to...
Well, you're not going to get... Who are you going to... What are you going to get rough with, you know?
I don't want some guy pretending like, you know, hey, he's marching like me and he's making fun of me because we're doing straight legs.
It's called drilling.
Yeah, okay, that's what you call it.
Well, it is called. I mean, I've never been in the military myself, but that's...
I'm just saying to everybody out there listening that when you see the Citizens Auxiliary Police marching by in crisp arm swinging and leg moving, what the general calls drilling...
Yeah, that's, you know, kind of what it is.
Then I would advise you not to yell out things like, you know, you look like you got one parked or you got a pole up there. Because all it does is serve to piss off the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You don't want us piss off. Believe me, you want piss off.
You don't what?
I said, believe me, you don't want to see us piss off.
We don't want to see you piss off.
No.
I heard what you said. We don't want to see you pissed off. Listen, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. I had a little bit of a sore throat on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I actually had a little bit of a sore throat off of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. But I'm going to go home now. And actually, I don't have to go home. Just across the street is where I live. So
you're just going to walk across the street.
I'm going to walk across the street. Thank you all for joining us. And we'll have an encore show for you tomorrow. And rest in peace, beautiful Tina Turner.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Yeah.
Throwing shit's hand on the wall next to a whiffle ball truck.
What do you say, throwing shit's hand on the wall? I don't know, man.
Styles make fools of us all. Tackers cars, take a shit.